This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White. Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words for love that happens from there's no day in the Christian faith like this Sunday, Easter, and Dr. Wyatt will share his great passion for our faith, who we are, what we believe. It starts here.
Thank you, Dennis. Easter, the rising of the new dawning in the East, and this is indeed something new and unique. Sharon's reading is from Luke 19. And for everyone and everything, this begins it all. Please don't miss this.
On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day arise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them.
Thank you so much, Sharon. It is Easter morning, the commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Kinder souls may say it's a mystery. The harsher critics decry it is all silliness, a myth, or even a fraud. This should surprise none of us. And despite the attempts to belittle the reason and understanding of those in the first century, these same criticisms and doubts were heard way back then. Paul relates that the resurrection was foolishness to the Greeks, and putting it, I am sure, mildly, he says it was a stumbling block to the Jews, to whom the Messiah, the Anointed One, was to be anything but a crucified Savior. But just as then, putting aside what we expect, what others tell us is possible, what are we, now 20 centuries later, to make of this empty tomb? A missing body, sudden appearances to large and small groups behind locked doors, of men in dazzling apparel speaking of his being raised just as he said he would. Indeed, what are we to make of the personal reports? Can this possibly be true? We have put men on the moon, rovers on the surface of Mars. Humans can replace hips, knees, can transplant hearts, livers, kidneys, lungs, and heaven knows what else in the future. But raised from the dead? Not possible. In our scientific, empirical world, people do not give credence to such irrationality. This, they say, is all so much nonsense. Yet it is simply not true that our grave and imposing world is based solely on reason and accepts no silly nonsense. that we have arisen out of some primeval protein soup to a consciousness of self, and then against all survival instincts, give ourselves to causes beyond ourselves, give ourselves to those we love. And yet there are those who would proclaim life is without meaning or purpose, that we are what we are because of what they call the survival of the fittest, that we have advanced thus far by pure accident, just choice and a lot of time. What is more ridiculous, the ancients worshiping the various heavenly bodies, or modern man worshiping himself? We make it all up to feel better. We are in control, or so we think. We reign, and no judgment, no consequences for what we do. And then evil strikes. A child or children are murdered senselessly, and we are puzzled, wonder why. A nation puts down a rebellion brutally, and the images are horrific, and we say it is unspeakable. Wars become remote, and the TV pictures become unreal. Tyrants act with impunity. Barbarity becomes commonplace. But this is the only possible consequences when God is removed and the basis of our faith, the Bible, dismissed, desecrated, and would be removed from all national thoughts. It must start here at Easter. Is this real or not? Is our Lord's words true? Is what our faith represents true or is it not? Do the Nazi horrors escape all ultimate justice? Do the lives they and too many others have cut short, that those who have been robbed of life, joy, and happiness, are they just cut short, robbed, and that's it? Or is there more? Are those starved and slaughtered for the so-called greater good, for the state, for the whims of dictators, to receive no justice? This is where it must start. What kind of world is one willing to accept? One of everyday horrors and tragedies with no hope or justice, or a world that recognizes that evil is a reality, and there is one who has triumphed over all evil, making it a possibility that we can as well be overcomers, and that ultimate justice will be. For me, there is no contest, no possible option, but to embrace the faith laid out in our scriptures. 20 centuries ago, a young man, supposedly unlettered, from a rural, humble, or unknown village, came proclaiming that God in him has begun something new. Rejecting popular anticipations of the kingdom of God, the various Jewish hopes, he will instead speak of a deep love, of caring, and then he would heal all manner of diseases, and taught in such beautiful parables. Tales describing the immense value of what God would do, and the great love which would seek out his own, of turning the other cheek, of going the extra mile, all for a hated oppressor. It was all so different, unfathomable, and unacceptable to many. Yet despite his teaching, contrary to every hope and expectation, despite the respected religious leaders denouncing his words and deeds, despite his being arrested, beaten near to death, despite being judged guilty by his own religious court, despite being accused and hung on a tree, despite the most degrading and painful death, and then laid in a borrowed tomb, this does not end it. By all that seems rational and rightly accepted, this singular life doesn't disappear. He does not become just another Jewish prophet murdered, not another claimant to the messianic hopes to disappear as a footnote to some obscure history seldom read. He does not disappear like so many other good men and women who hoped to change the world. Just what happened that altered everything? What was it that, despite being contrary to the great popular expectation, despite not destroying the Roman oppressor, what was it that overcame all of this, even the cruel, torturous defeat of the cross? What was it that turned such a death into victory, gave birth to what would be called a new nation? What would alter all such expectation? What was it that would rebuild Jewish theology around a new glory and saw deep in Scripture a new revelation of the death of the suffering servant, that he was the Messiah of God? What caused this massive and momentous shift in thinking? What changes everything? It all does start here. This is the very foundation of our faith, for it is because of only one fact, one reality. The borrowed tomb, just a few hours later, was not just empty. The body of Jesus was not just missing, for they would all experience him as risen. They would walk, talk, share food with he who was once dead. Yet beyond all possibilities, beyond all expectations or hope, he stood before them. One could touch him, feel his presence. This was no mass hallucination. Such is simply not possible. No sudden restoration of one who had been severely injured. He was dead, and all knew it. This was no clever invention of a few to smooth their battered egos in hopes, and then they somehow managed to convince others. You don't die for a conjured-up hope and dream. You don't endure the dangers of traversing land and sea, face the ridicule and harsher persecutions, all for some imagining. This was something new, something unknown before. Life now flowed in one who was once dead. Now everything to those who knew him will be defined by this singular event. It is to be seen as new life, new hope, new expectation, a great unfathomable love, and now true justice. This was not defeat, but overwhelming victory. Certainly not hopelessness, anything but, for it was the proof that death is not the end. Death is not eternal darkness, a sleep without end, an endless forgetfulness. No, beyond what was once but only a veil of tears is something only hinted at before. Only the vaguest prophetic glimpse. The Holy One will not see corruption. That in his way God will preserve his own. Now it is tangible and real. As it was for this Jesus, so it can be for us. As our Lord proclaimed even to the disciples, O slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And his glory is ours to share. It is a promise of life in him eternally. And this means as well there is no escaping what is everyone's due. All will receive God's justice, his recompense. There will be the victory of righteousness, which is not possible without his judgment. Only in him will one escape our just judgment. Only in him will we recover what was lost. Only in him is this all possible. Yes, it all starts here. In Easter is the answer to the puzzle that is Christianity. How it arose at all, from a mere handful, to topple the Roman Empire. And to encompass the globe quite quickly, considering that there were no steamships, let alone jet planes. Yes, it starts with the empty tomb and his appearing before those who knew, that they might witness it all from the very beginning in Galilee, witness it all to the very end. This is our faith. It is no myth. Not some story concocted a century later for a fledgling church that needed a reason to exist. There simply would have been no church without this resurrection. It is this event that has changed everything, our history, our approach to life, how we approach and deal with those in need. Yes, it would forever alter the lives of a handful of Jewish peasants and has changed our entire world. It is because he does live. He is not dead. He was seen alive by upwards of 500, many of whom are still alive, Paul tells us. Of course, they are no longer with us, but their testimony still resonates today. If this is true, then nothing in our gospel narratives can be dismissed. Not the signs and wonders, not the most remarkable miracle. Nothing can be simply dismissed as unlikely or impossible. With the reality of the empty tomb, because of this, our faith continues to thrive after all these centuries. Because of this, we are an obstacle to the desires of those who dislike the consequences of our faith. What they called traditional values, the sanctity of life, marriage, and character, value, virtue, and morality. Yes, all that is our world is because of this one event we celebrate this day. It marks so much that is of such value, and we take it so much for granted. Freedom, higher virtues, honor, grace, even that higher sense of love, are free markets, free governments, and the list can go on endlessly. Some will question this and quibble, but it is true. Who and what we are, how we live and react to difficulties, tragedies, and yes, blessings, is because of this one event. It does all start here. The empty tomb and his appearing alive to many is the start of it all. As Luke will make clear, the suffering and death of Christ was not God's last word. Although the women came to complete a proper burial, they will be looking in the wrong place. Yet their testimony, their account, falls on cynical and faithless ears as useless chatter. At least Peter and John's gospel tells us one other will go to see for themselves. Peter will express only amazement, for as yet, faith or even comprehension has not yet taken hold. He and others have still not comprehended all that Jesus had said about his resurrection, have not taken seriously what the power of God means, despite all that they had seen in his ministry. What he had said and what they had seen, it should have awakened a sense, a hope, the possibility. He appears to them and their faith will grow. Today we have no such opportunity to witness this as they did, but their testimony is there for us. So really, what kind of world do you want? One of hope, justice, and joy, or not? And what does this hope, justice, and God's glory really mean? It is this, Easter. He is alive. He is risen. It does all start here. The empty tomb and his appearing alive to many is indeed the start of it all. O Lord, especially on this day, let all Christians celebrate as one the truth of the empty tomb, that he appeared alive, and he is still alive for us. We can experience him daily in everything we do and everything we say. And if we are open, we can hear his voice. Lord, let it all become so real to us all that we never falter in this faith, never compromise or dilute this our faith, for it is who we are. And it is this that will make the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. For it is for thy glory and praise forever. Amen and amen.
On this Easter morning, we do want to wish all a deep and abiding confidence in he who has risen, and the joy that results and is our faith. He is risen indeed. If you desire more information on this singular event in human history, do write and ask for Dr. Wyatt's book, Evidence of the Resurrection. It is all here, brief and readable. My husband lays out all the evidence and arguments for this remarkable event that is the distinguishing mark of our faith. Do write and ask for Evidence of the Resurrection. It is yours at no charge. We also want to thank those of you who are keeping this ministry in your kind prayers and for your generosity toward this ministry. We do depend on your graciousness that we might be able to get the Word of God out to a world that so needs to hear it. It does make it possible for us to share the truth of the resurrection across this land and far beyond. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the World Wide Web at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. This entire weekend, culminating with our Lord's resurrection, is so unique, fascinating, and can be overwhelming. as my message outlined. It all starts for us right here. Everything in Christianity emanates from what occurred on the dawning of that first day of the week. And I do love to hear Kathleen Sullivan's marvelous moving hymn, Morning Light. The poetry is simply profound and says it all. Morning light revealed empty tomb, hope reborn. That is it. Everything starts right there. Do please write. Dennis will give the addresses once more, right after Kathleen sings her song. And until next week, let us bask in the truth. He is risen indeed.
On this special day this Easter, we wish all those in our radio audience that they too find that deep and abiding confidence in He who has risen, and discover the joy and hope that abounds in our unique faith, a faith that is now proclaiming all over the world that He is risen indeed. The Wings of Healing International Ministry sponsors this program. It is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the risen Savior. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and for this week and next, Dr. Wyatt is offering his defense of this Easter event titled Evidence of the Resurrection. Here is the logic, reasons, arguments, and evidence for the resurrection of Jesus.
So if you have doubts, questions, or just want an excellent presentation of the truth of the gospel accounts, just write and ask for Evidence of the Resurrection. It is yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code B6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna, asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time, and remember what God has promised to those who love Him.